Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. This is another episode of It's All About Food. We're broadcasting today from Responsible Eating and Living Pandemic Headquarters. And I want to bring on my guest. Actually, he's not a guest anymore. He is officially the It's All About Food co-host. Thanks for joining me today, Gary DiMattei.
Hello, Karen. I've brought my rain stick and bird sounds today, and my gong.
That's very relaxing sounding, Gary.
Well, the theme of our show today is nourishing the soul as well as the body. And we've got so much to talk to our listeners about today with respect to nourishing the soul as well as the body.
You're putting me to sleep, Gary. I feel so relaxed.
Okay.
Thank you, because I've been so full of anxiety.
High anxiety.
We did not plan that.
Whenever you're near. Anxiety. It's you that I fear. And I'm really glad we did that little bit together from Mel Brooks's High Anxiety, the movie. Because there's a great thing going around the internet, which I'm sure everybody's seen, that his son Max did about if you have parents that are of a certain age, stay home. And then Mel comes on and he's between the sliding glass door and his son who's out in the backyard. It's really good.
Underlying the message that is so important today, stay home.
Stay home. And if you are at home now listening to us, you probably aren't in the healthcare industry because all of those heroes are out working. But there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. I'm proud of a lot of people who are helping out. I've got some friends who were actors, and this is all about the arts, who are now lawyers. They're teaching law at Tulane Law School. And, I mean, just checking out my friend's Facebook page, I learned some really cool things. In addition to teaching law, my friend Elizabeth and husband Ron, last name Elizabeth Townsend Guard and Ron Guard, they teach law, I think, at the same university. I think they both teach at Tulane. Anyway, they won't mind me talking about some of the stuff that I found out from their page. Elizabeth is a quilter. She's in the quilting community. And, you know, she's like major in quilting. But anyway, to make a long story short, the quilters are all getting together and they're making masks for the healthcare industry.
That's homemade beautiful masks. Mm-hmm.
And they're all stepping in and they're really rising to it. And she said that we have almost 500 people join within the first day. I guess they sent out a call to all of the quilters around the country. I don't know the details, but I'll find out. But anyway, there's so many stories like this going on in the news. And
once again, the good things that are happening are at local levels with individuals and not from our federal government.
No, not from our federal government. And it's just, I mean, but we don't want to stress out because today it's about nourishing the soul as well as the body. But, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about all the anxiety and stress that
that we all have.
We're sitting here waiting for the other shoe to drop,
yeah,
so to speak.
This is an uncertain time that no one on this planet has ever experienced.
And yet...
Wait. I can't say no one because we have had some other epidemics we've had that have affected people in localized areas, but never something that's global.
Global. Which has broken in a positive, if you can spin this positively, it has forced us all together to try and deal with this problem. And those that are cooperating with one another are making huge strides. Those that aren't are still
struggling.
And I think, unfortunately, this is going to happen in our country with people like the guards and, you know, Joanne Fabrics, for example. I mean, I don't sew, but I know you're an amazing sewer. And you've
probably
been to Joanne Fabrics.
I've been there many times.
Right. Well, I just, in Jacksonville, Florida, this story came out about Joanne Fabric stores are working with customers to teach them how to sew masks for healthcare workers. And the response has been, you know, I mean, it made the news.
Yeah, there are a lot of ideas and a lot of do-it-yourself things going around social media about making your own masks for yourself, but also for the healthcare workers who really need it. Now, of course, most of these do-it-yourself versions are not N95 or N99
right.
OSHA certified, but they're better than nothing.
Yeah. And
and can offer some protection.
Right. And they're letting them slide because, as you said, they're just...
These are desperate times.
Right. And now, there are a lot of people that are ramping up at this grassroots level. You know, people, industry will jump in. There's companies that are changing, you know, what they do just to help people. Like there's a company, I don't know the name of it, but it's switching what it normally makes, and now it's going to make hand sanitizer. And there's entrepreneurs that are seeing new possibilities all over the place.
And so there are some good things. And ultimately, when we get to the other side of this, hopefully we will have learned some new things and have changed our behaviors for the better.
We hope so. Right. I understand that Hanes Underwear, this was a story I got from you.
Yeah.
Is starting to make masks.
Yes, they're using their cotton materials
right.
to make masks.
And they have these elastic already.
Right.
And so they're ready to start.
This is
working.
War, folks.
Yeah,
and
I mean, and
we're
that's what...
in this wartime mode where we have to change what we have to make what is most urgently needed at this time.
Exactly. And, you know, I heard that even the doctor shows, you know, the shows about like Grey's Anatomy and Chicago PD and Chicago Med and Pose and Station 19 and The Good Doctor and New Amsterdam. I mean, all of these shows that deal with hospitals and doctors. I'm not a doctor, but I have played one on TV. Those types of things. They're donating all of their supplies, their medical supplies that are legit to the cause. So, I mean, yeah, some of that is a no-brainer, but people are stepping up. Unfortunately, the federal government
is not stepping up fast enough or not stepping up in a way that is really appropriate for the people's interests.
Right. So how do we deal with that kind of stress? I mean, in addition to contacting our Congress persons and our senators and all of those things that we're all hopefully doing, how do we deal with the stress of this to avoid getting sick?
So we talked a little bit about stress last week.
Yes, we did.
And I'm kind of like a broken record when it comes to the things that I recommend, because there really is a foundation of things, like a short list of the things that we need to do that are the best for our health, not just our physical body, but our emotional well-being. We talked last week about how when we eat a healthier diet, we can manage stress so much better.
Yes, it's true.
But I am a huge believer in meditation. And when... Thank you, Gary. Oh, right away.
A gong helps, doesn't it?
It does. I just release.
This was my mother's gong. Can you believe that?
Yeah, did she use it?
I did.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, the mallet I used to pretend was like a Tootsie Pop. And there's still some little...
Well, you are a percussionist. You've played the drums. And this is just one more toy. I mean, one more instrument for you.
I beg your pardon. Toy?
This is an instrument. I just know that when I feel anxious, when I feel anxiety, when I feel fear, and I'm not somebody who feels those things often or frequently. I'm a pretty stable, relaxed kind of person.
Yes.
You might differ with me. I don't know.
No, but I agree. You're very strong.
When I feel the buildup, I know this is the moment for meditation right now.
Right.
And the wonderful thing about meditation is it doesn't cost anything. You could sign up for a workshop or a class that charges you money, but you don't have to do that. And you could invest in a recording or a tape that guides you along, but you can meditate for nothing at any time.
Yes.
If you talked
about that last week, how we go on the internet and we find meditation tapes to meditate to.
Mm-hmm.
Bell Ruth Napperstack was someone you mentioned last time.
Yes, my favorite. Right now I'm listening to a piece of music.
Right.
And I kind of created a meditation out of it.
Yes, I know who you're going to talk
about. Yeah, I'm looking it up.
It was The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace, changed by Carl. The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace by Carl Jenkins. He actually wrote it after 9/11.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Anyway, this is a beautiful album of music.
Yes.
And there's one particular piece, which is called The Armed Man. Is that what it's called?
The entire mass is called The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace. The particular cut that you're talking about, I'm not sure what that's called.
Well, I listened to that, and I've actually taken that piece and edited it a little bit because it's a very peaceful piece for the most part.
It's a peaceful piece. That's an alliteration. Happy birthday, Mr. Sondheim.
And that's just an inside joke. And when I listen to a meditation, I want it to be pretty even and not have any exciting moments or some loud moments because it can jar you out of your peaceful place. So I took this beautiful piece and I just took out the moment where everything swells and gets loud. And so I created this meditation music that I find really transports me.
What a wonderful idea to create your own meditation music. That's really wonderful. That's a wonderful idea.
It can be anything.
Right.
It can be sounds of nature.
Right. Like we just played to get into this, which I won't play again. And or it could be a dinner gong turned meditation gong.
That's
which
right.
Which is what this is. This was a dinner gong. Appropriate for It's All About Food to have a dinner gong.
Right? Appropriate on It's All About Food. So there's a lot of relaxing music out there that can help you when you're sitting in meditation, concentrating on your breathing, and really opening up all of the tense spots in your body. And I don't know how it is for you, but when I'm tense, most of it's right in my jaw.
Yes.
And I discovered that when I started doing yoga. I found that after a yoga session and you're lying in corpse pose.
So to speak.
When you're lying down and you're just supposed to relax after working out and your body kind of integrates everything you've been through, I noticed my whole body was relaxed except my jaw.
Right.
So I hold a lot of tension in my jaw.
Soften the jaw, soften the eyes. That I talked about Rodney E. last time too. He talks a lot about that. Relax the jaw, soften the eyes.
Yeah.
That helped
Those
me a lot.
Those are big places of tension.
Especially staring at a screen, which I'm sure everyone is doing now a lot more than they were doing it. Your eyes are just really getting a huge negative workout.
I also find that the more you meditate, because it can be an awkward and uncomfortable experience when you first start, the more you do it, the easier it is to get to that level of relaxation.
Yes.
And while everyone's cooped up at home, this is something you can do. You can do it many times during the day. You can't really overdose from meditation. But also, if you're one of those wonderful people out there that is considered in an essential business, you may need to take a break. And you can go to a restroom, lock the stall, and sit there for a few minutes and focus on breathing.
Yeah, I want to talk about, this is a show where I'm talking about friends, because we'll get into that later about how important it is to reach out to friends and family and keep connected during this time. even if it has to be on Zoom or Skype or FaceTime. But a friend of mine, a former acting student of mine in San Jose, Maha Shareb, she teaches yoga in the Middle East. And on her Facebook page, it's exactly what you were talking about. It's the someone in the pose. The lotus pose. And the wording on it says, if you can't go outside, go inside.
Ooh.
Right. So, Maha, thank you for that.
If you can't go outside, go inside.
And I hope you're well, thinking about you.
And that's friend. Why I liked the rain music mm-hmm. that you just played, because if you can't go outside and you are inside, sometimes just hearing sounds of nature,
right.
you can open the window, listen to the sounds of nature, and it's very calming.
Yes, it's beautiful. And
so this is food for the soul.
As well as the body.
As well as for the body.
Now, there's someone else who we always try to connect with an interview that you have done, Karen, on this show. For how many years now?
Oh, my God. Oh, this week. Right now.
Right now.
It's God, I didn't even realize. It's our 11th anniversary of It's All About Food. So much going on, and I totally forgot.
See?
I'm going to cry now. So happy anniversary. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being there.
It's the 11th anniversary.
Wow.
Yay.
Oh, my goodness. So much has happened in 11 years. So much has happened in 1 week.
Right. So the title for this show will definitely be the 11th anniversary show, but we can subtitle it the nourishing the soul as well as the body. How's that?
I like it.
You guys are with us right now. We're making this up as we go along. But I mean, everybody's been distracted. So
yes.
I mean, but 11 years. Congratulations, Karen.
Wow.
That's amazing. So in 11 years, you've talked to a lot of people. And one of the guys that you've talked to doctors, and you've talked to this doctor. And his name is Dr. Dean Ornish, right?
Dr. Dean Ornish. I was very honored and excited when I got to speak to him last year. It was January 2009.
Right.
And he had a new book that came out that he wrote with his wife, Ann Ornish. And I had both of them on the program. Their book is called Undo It, and it's about not only nourishing your body, but nourishing your soul. Dr. Dean Ornish, in addition to being an amazing physician who has really changed the landscape in cardiology with some groundbreaking studies that acknowledge the power of nutrition on preventing and reversing heart disease. But he's a touchy-feely kind of doctor. He's not one of these rigid doctors that just wants to go with science. And, you know, science is awesome. But love is the only answer.
Love heals.
love heals. And love is so powerful. And Dr. Dean Ornish recognizes the power of love, community, socially getting together with loved ones and friends, and meditation.
Right. Yeah, he said some wonderful things
on his Facebook page.
On his Facebook page. I'll read you just a little bit of one of the things that he said, which is in line with what we're talking about today. And again, we'll have a link on the Responsible Eating and Living website on how you can access the interview that Karen was just talking about their new book, Undo It. But anyway, to avoid getting sick, and this is Dr. Ornish speaking now or writing, most of the focus so far has been on preventing exposure to the coronavirus, which, of course, is very important. Staying at home, social distancing, hand washing, gloves, masks, disinfecting, etc. But very little has been written about the other half of the equation. How to enhance your immune system so that if you are exposed, you can reduce the chances of getting sick, or at least mitigate the intensity of the disease and thus reduce the rate. And then he goes into the four aspects of his lifestyle medicine program. Eat well, move more, stress less, love more. And he says that these things have been proven to reverse a wide variety of chronic diseases, such as coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, early stage prostate cancer, and hypertension. They also enhance immune function. And in his book, Undo It, this is described in more detail. And I know he talks about this in the interview that you were just mentioning.
You know, I'm just remembering, for anybody who needs some data, and there's plenty of data on the power of meditation. Right. There is science behind this. It's not just woo-woo-wah-wah. There's lots of information that shows that if you meditate before a surgical procedure, you heal faster.
Right.
And when I was going through cancer, I did this one thing that still blows me away.
I remember.
So I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer after my first surgery. I didn't know that I had cancer going in. I was going in what I thought were advanced fibroids, uterine fibroids. I was wrong. And then after I was diagnosed, I learned about the cancer marker, CA-125, which I think we talked about a couple of shows ago because I'm an 8, which is a very low number. It's in the noise, so...
8 is great.
8, 11. We got to, you know, gamble or something. We've got a few good numbers going.
Right.
Not today. And so I started getting this blood test done during my treatment period. And I had this one surgeon. He had operated on me once. And then I had chemotherapy and the cancer, the residual cancer that he didn't remove, it didn't go away. And I had another scan and it showed it was still there. And he said it was a false positive. There's nothing there. Okay, he made a mistake. Ha, ha, ha. And 3 months...
He made a mistake. It wasn't a false positive.
It wasn't. And I was feeling terrible. And then 2 months later, I had another scan and it showed that this little residual had now grown to something significant. And I got new doctors. And I had scheduled surgery at Mount Sinai Hospital. And I had a month to go before the surgery. And I thought, okay, I really need to do everything I possibly can. And that's when I started meditating. And I created my own meditation program, which I'll share with anybody if you're interested, info@realmeals.org. In addition to guided imagery, which we talked about last week, and listening to Bellruth Napperstack, I created my own program, and it really helped me relax and focus before I got into the guided imagery and the affirmations. So it was a long program that I created for myself, and we did it twice a day back then.
Right, we did.
So it was like a 40-minute to an hour meditation program that I did in the morning and the evenings. And I had 4 blood tests from when I started meditation and when I had surgery. And the blood tests were of my cancer marker. And my cancer marker went down 30% in a straight line. I had a test done every week until I had surgery.
I remember you graphed it.
A straight line down, 30%. And this particular blood test, the experts say, only goes down when you have a treatment that's working. And the only thing I did was meditation. Now, in my meditations, this is kind of humorous, I think, I was making up affirmations, and I wasn't saying for the cancer to go away. I was saying shrink the tumor, but I was saying that my surgery will go well, they will find the tumor and remove it, and everything will be well. I wanted the tumor to be there because I had already had a surgery where the surgeon said there was nothing there and he was wrong. So I wanted to be opened up and I wanted them to find it and take it out.
Right.
But it was... It had shrunk.
I remember. And you graphed it because
I graphed it. So meditation is very powerful. And I find when I'm feeling anxiety, that's like my first defense. The first thing I do, I sit, I breathe, and I go to my favorite places, and I get that anxiety down.
Right. Like, unbelievable. I remember that completely. And it was unbelievable. But it happened.
Yeah.
And here you are.
It's such a long time ago, but I think it happened. Pinch me. Yeah, it happened. So, I have the scars to prove it.
So I'll keep reading a little bit more of Dr. Ornish's advice. Number one, he says, love more. And this is, I think, is a really important thing to talk about here. And I'll use his words. Spreading fear and loathing about the coronavirus may, ironically, increase the risk of getting sick. Fear can be self-fulfilling to the extent that it does suppress immune function and makes someone more likely to get the very disease they're most afraid of. Also, staying at home and social distancing helps prevent transmission of the virus, but feeling lonely can be harmful to your health. Study after study have shown that people who are lonely and isolated are 3 to 10 times more likely to get sick and die prematurely of virtually all causes when compared to those who have a strong sense of love and community. Fortunately, and these are still Dr. Ornish's words, and they're public, they're on his Facebook page. Fortunately, there are many things we can do to enhance our immune function to help protect us. While it's important to stay at home, wash your hands, disinfect, etc., it's also wise to spend more time socializing with family members who are living with you, as well as using video or audio technologies just like Zoom or the phone to virtually spend time with friends and family in other places. And then he goes on to talk about a study that's been done. Anyway, I'll keep reading it. For example, Sheldon Cohen did a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association in which he dripped rhinovirus, which causes the common cold, in the noses of volunteers. And Dr. Ornish continues with, I don't know how he persuaded people to volunteer and got this approved by the Human Studies Committee, ... But he continues, all of them became infected, but not everyone developed the signs and symptoms of a cold. Those that had only 1 to 3 social ties, defined as a phone call or visit from a friend every 2 weeks, were 4.2 times more likely to develop a cold than those with 6 or more social ties during that time. And then he has a link. So anyway.
So it's a good time while we're quarantined and social distancing to pick up the phone. Do you remember what making a phone call is like?
You know how to do that, right?
Right. Make a phone call. Make a few phone calls a day. Call your cousins. Call old friends. Call people you haven't talked to in a long time. We're all in this together.
Yes.
And, you know, if you don't want to use the phone, that's one thing. You can send emails. But it's time to reach out.
Yeah, I had a couple of people just post, hi, how you doing, that I haven't heard from in years on my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm gonna continue this trend, talk about people, follow up with them. Today on the show, I've talked about the guards, and I've talked about Maha, and we're talking about Dr. Ornish. This is good. This is good. We all need to reach out and get closer, even though we're all in isolation.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a strange thing. So, it's so surreal.
He talks about stress, too. And he continues with, in an earlier study, Cohen dripped 5 types of respiratory viruses, rhinovirus type 2, 9, or 14 respiratory, and it's a bunch of stuff that I can't pronounce, a less deadly form than a current coronavirus, into volunteers. The rates of both respiratory infection and clinical colds increased significantly in a dose response manner, with increases in the degree of psychological stress. Infection rates range from approximately 74% to approximately 90%, according to levels of psychological stress. And the incidence of clinical colds range from approximately 27% to 47%. In other words, stress suppressed their immune function. Because of this, the more stress they felt, the more likely they were to get infected and sick.
Okay, so hear this, folks. We want you to eat extremely well, plant-based, whole foods, organic if possible, minimally processed, and we want you to breathe. Breathe a lot.
Yes.
Tune everything out, or a lot of it out, just for different periods of the day. Focus on your breathing. Do a meditation program if you have one. Find one. We need you to stay calm.
Right. And you know, which is incredible here, is you just said what Dr. Ornish calls number three, eat well. And he says, numerous studies have clearly shown that a healthful whole foods plant-based diet enhances your immune function. There are thousands of substances in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and soy products that are protective against infection.
Now, I don't want to get everyone all anxious and riled up, but I want to talk a little bit about being prepared. So we talked about, I think we've talked about how we've stocked our pantry. We always have a well-stocked pantry.
Yeah, we're not hoarding. We just always have this well-stocked pantry.
We like to have a lot of choices, and we like to be ready for...
Earthquakes. I'm from California.
Whatever it is. So,
hurricanes.
And you know, we have a New York City one-bedroom apartment. We don't have a lot of space.
But we don't.
But we use every inch of it very well. So we have canned beans, organic, salt-free. We have a lot of them. We have dried beans, and we have organic pastas, all different kinds. We have a lot of stuff. And we also buy fresh produce. I wanted to give a shout out to our local organic fresh produce deliverer. I talked about them years ago when they just started, GoOrganicNYC.com. GoOrganicNYC.com. They're awesome. Their produce is fantastic. Their service is excellent. And they deliver to the New York City area. So we're using them for fresh produce right now.
And they're in Brooklyn.
But they deliver all over Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn. I think even, well, you'll have to check their website. GoOrganicNYC.com for the New York area. If you don't want to get out and go to the stores, this is an option for fresh produce. But we were just reading an article, which I will include in the description of this show when it posts in the archive, about the ban that we have, the border ban that we have with Mexico. And there are many migrant workers that come from Mexico to do the harvests on the farms in California mostly and in other states. And they are responsible for a significant portion of the food that we eat. And if they can't come into the country for one ban or another, who's going to harvest our food? Now, I'm hoping that a lot of volunteers and a lot of wonderful people will step up to the plate and make it happen. But there may be a time when our fresh produce is not so abundant. Now, I don't want to create a gloom and doom scary scenario, but I just want you to think about it and be prepared. And you can be prepared with some things that I'm going to recommend that you can always use. So one favorite product that we've mentioned on this show before is Bilal's Easy Kale. Bilal's been on this program. I love this man. He's just true blue and so good. He spends time feeding the hungry and doing so many wonderful things. He's just on a mission to do good.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
And he's very generous. So he has a product, Easy Kale. It's organic. And it comes in a, right now it's a plastic shaker. And he's working on improving his packaging so that it's more sustainable. But right now it comes in this shaker. And it's about 16 servings per container. So you have one tablespoon of this organic green powder, and it is equivalent nutritionally to 4 cups of leafy kale. And it has no taste. So I've put it on my morning bowl of oats with berries and fruits and flax. But I'm thinking if produce is in short supply and you can't have your salads and your greens, it would be a good idea, I think, to have some easy kale on hand. It lasts a long time. It doesn't go bad. It's a genius product.
Yeah, and we're not getting any kickbacks from it.
No, we're not. But you can go to Amazon, Google easy kale, and Bilal just told me he's got a fresh batch coming in. He uses local suppliers. And it's an awesome product. Now, there are other green powders, and you may have a favorite. I also like Dr. Ben Kim's green powder. I know Gary Null has a green powder, green stuff.
Gary Null, yeah, Gary.
There are many different products. I recommend organic, and you read the label and make sure everything on it is a whole food.
Right.
That's just been dehydrated, basically. And we've been using a tomato powder.
Yes.
And we use it like a spice, but it's just dried, concentrated tomato. And we just bought 4 ounces of it a while ago.
Just to try. We've never tried it before because organic tomatoes are difficult to find all year long. And then we also buy jarred organic tomatoes. But once in a while, we like to just add a little bit of a tomato kick. We don't use a lot of salt. Actually, we don't use any salt.
Thank you. No salt here.
But the tomato powder acts like a salt.
Well, salt, I mean, tomatoes, foods like tomatoes and celery and carrots have sodium in them.
Yeah, so I use it now. I use the tomato powder now as a salt substitute. And it's, I think, the best thing that I've been able to find. And
it gives a new dimension, complexity to the flavors.
Lots of layers.
Lots of layers and a beautiful color.
Right. And so one of the dishes that we just made where I used some tomato powder, we're calling it the pandemic pasta. And you're here today listening to us, so you are the first to hear about this recipe. So there's going to be a picture of it on our website, and we'll post the recipe. But we used 12 to 16 ounce package of brown rice spaghetti. Now, why I say 12 to 16 ounces is because I use an organic brown rice spaghetti, but it comes in a 12 ounce package. But there are 16 ounce packages of brown rice spaghetti. And you can use any kind of spaghetti you want. I use a brown rice spaghetti.
It doesn't even have to be spaghetti.
No.
It could be linguine or penne.
Right. One head of collards. Now, this is a collard green that, you know, we normally use for juicing, and I like cooking it sometimes. So I used one head. That's about 6 large leaves, and I stripped the hard stem out of it. You know how you just pull the leaves off and you've still got the stem, and put the stem in the crisper drawer and use it for juicing. Or you could actually, I mean, as we talked about on the show before, there's a restaurant on Austin Street called Bear Burger. They actually make collard stem fries. So if you don't want to have potatoes, but you need some fries, you can use collard stems. And Karen has actually had them, and she's...
I like them. They're breaded and then fried. I don't recommend frying, but we're going to work on a baked recipe. I know we tried once, but we need to try a few more times.
3 carrots chopped in crescents. Now that's taking a carrot, scrubbing it. These are all organic carrots now. Cutting them down the middle, laying them flat on your cutting board, and then making little crescents out of them just by chopping them on the bias. And 1 red onion chopped, 2 cloves of garlic minced. The pandemic pasta name is because there's a lot of immune-boosting properties in this pasta. Obviously, the garlic is one of the major contributors to boosting the immune system. And so if you're all indoors and you're not worried about, offending someone with a lot of garlic breath, now's your time to put garlic in everything. So I put 2 cloves of minced garlic in this thing. And I sauteed it in a cup of water. And that water is important for later, and I'll explain. Then, while it's sauteing, and you could use vegetable stock if you want, I made the sauce. And in a powerful blender, I'm using a Vitamix. I took about 1/2 cup of raw cashews, whole raw cashews. That's about 50. I counted them. You can tell
we
I
have
a lot
of time
on my hands. About 50 cashews. And I added 2.5 cups of water. This, I can't talk about cashews enough. Cashews have a high fat content, higher than manufacturing cream, for those of you who are chefs out there and know what that stuff is. And so that means it reduces down to a thick sauce really quickly when you simmer it. So 1/2 cup of cashews, 2.5 cups of water, throw it in the, we have a Vitamix, but if you have a powerful blender, you're going to make your own cashew cream right there in the blender, and you're going to add to it while it's blending a quarter cup of nutritional yeast, a tablespoon of miso. We use a chickpea miso. I use a light colored miso. Two tablespoons of this tomato powder. You can also use tomato paste if you don't have a powder. Two tablespoons of turmeric. Again, we're talking about immune boosting properties, and turmeric, again, is an immune boosting.
That's right. And when you prepare something with fat and or black pepper, it augments the turmeric absorption.
Right. One teaspoon of herb de Provence. I'm using dried spices now because we don't have any fresh yet. One teaspoon of dried parsley, one teaspoon of oregano, one teaspoon of freshly ground pepper. You can put more in if you want. You blend all that up. And while this collard, onion, carrot saute is happening, you pour that sauce right into that as it's in a large saute pan. And then you're cooking your pasta. You have to rinse brown rice pasta, but if your sauce is simmering, you add that rinsed pasta to your sauce, let it all incorporate, let it heat up the pasta once again because it's going to chill down your pasta when you rinse it, and serve it. And it's terrific.
And eat it. It's yummy.
Yeah. So that will boost your immune system and make your belly feel good.
Yeah. I wanted some comfort food today.
Right.
And that's what I got.
But now let's talk about comfort food, because a lot of people are out there talking about, and I know you're getting a lot of texts from different takeout restaurants, and you know, we're trying to keep all our restaurants in business, but there's a lot of crappy food out there. You're getting these come hither texts and ads from, you know, pizza parlors and places like that. And you're getting a lot of ads for, we'll deliver your liquor right to your door from liquor stores.
And how is it that liquor stores are considered essential businesses?
Oh, come on. You know that. You know the answer to that. People don't want to remember this. But I mean, it breaks down your immune system. So one of the other things that, and again, we talk about this all the time on the show, but we want to get you this information also backed by a doctor. And so again, with Dr. Ornish, his number four point that he's making on his Facebook page is to move more. Many studies have shown a clear inverse relationship between moderate exercise and a risk of a wide variety of illnesses, including infectious diseases. It enhances the immune regulation. Just walking 15 to 30 minutes a day makes a big difference in your immune function. So he puts all this together on his page. Check it out if you want. But some of the things that we do now that we're not going outside as much is we do yoga. And we do an aerobic activity during the yoga.
Or dance. I like to practice dance.
Yeah. A lot of things can happen in place.
You know, we're talking about this recipe, which I call comfort food. And it's not really traditional comfort food. But to me, it's comfort food because pasta is the kind of comfort food that we don't normally eat a lot of.
No.
We normally go for whole grains. So when I want a comfort food, that's what I go with. And any kind of cashew cream sauce is comforting to me. But I want to talk briefly about an article that I just read. And it's actually based on a study. And this underlines, again, the importance of eating whole, minimally processed foods. Because there's a lot of vegan foods out there today that are vegan, but they're not necessarily healthy because they're highly processed. So pea protein isolate, pea protein, PEA, made from peas, legumes.
Not PEE.
Oh no. Who knows? In the future with the, no, Soylent Green and pea protein. No. We're not going there. Anyway, pea protein, PEA, the legume protein, has been used a lot in new vegan products. A lot of the new vegan burgers, plant-based burgers, have pea protein in them. There are protein powders that have pea protein. I don't recommend using a protein powder personally because we don't need to eat extra protein in a powder. And if you feel like you need extra protein, my first question is why? But if you want to talk about needing extra protein, let's talk about that offline. You can email me at info@realmeals.org and we can talk about that. But pea protein is being used a lot. And I've said this earlier on the program. There's a lot of science today, a lot of research on soy protein isolate. Lots and lots and lots. And some of it isn't very good. Soy protein isolate is highly processed and in some ways is almost like eating meat, animal meat. Some of the ways our body responds to it. So it's not really the best food. Whole minimally processed soy foods are good. But because of a lot of myths and misinformation and genetically modified soy and soy allergies, people have started using pea protein in their industrial made foods. Not a lot of research on pea protein. But now there's a new article and I will link it in the archive for this show. It's entitled Pea Protein Trend Sparks Allergy Warning. And according to this article from foodnavigator.com, people that happen to be sensitive to a lot of foods who have allergies are finding that pea protein is potentially a very big problem.
Hmm.
So one of the things I want to read from this article, it says, another big worry is that while pea protein is not labeled as an allergen, as it is not one of the 14 listed allergens, its, quote, cross-reactivity, unquote, presents a potential danger to peanut allergy sufferers. Any plant-based ingredients that are added to foods and have cross-reactivity with any of the 14 allergens are a potential threat to allergy sufferers. And they also, there's also a quote here from Amira Ashouri, who advises the food industry about these things, is quoted here saying, pea protein is a great ingredient to use and one which the majority of people will be able to tolerate, very much like Beyond Meat. It's important to signpost on pack, saying, people with severe allergies to legumes like peanuts should be cautious when introducing pea protein into their diet because of the possibility of a pea allergy. So this is the first thing coming out that I've seen that's negative about pea protein. I have a feeling we're going to be seeing more.
Right.
So that's just a word of caution. Eat whole foods. Eat peas, not isolated pea protein.
Right. Eat soy, not isolated soy.
Yes. Whole soy, minimally soy products, whole peas, minimally processed pea products.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
I love peas.
I love peas too.
So anything that's processed, and you've said this on the show hundreds and hundreds of times, for the last 11 years.
Last 11 years.
Happy Woo! Anniversary, responsible eating and living. It's all about food. Karen Hartglass. And thank you, PRN. But you've talked about it a lot, minimally processed foods. And now a processed food is something that is exactly what it sounds like. They take the food and they break it down and they put it through a bunch of different tests and extract things from it. And
yeah, they heat it, they cool it, they stretch it, right. They add things to it, they take things away from it.
Right.
And most of the time they take nutrients away from it.
And that's the thing we're talking about is the stuff they add to it and the stuff they take away. We're not quite sure what they're adding to it, and that could cause the allergies.
Right.
Because if you're not allergic to peas, you would assume, well, I'm not allergic to a pea protein
isolate. Yes.
But
that's what the article is pointing out.
It's what they put in.
Well, it's what they put in, but also the pea isolate.
Right.
People can eat a whole pea, no problem, but they might have a problem with the processed pea protein isolate.
Right. And what is an isolate? It is a cause a person or place to be or remain alone or apart from others.
Oh, while we're talking about social distancing, we're also talking about
is that
socially
the same
distanced.
How do you spell
plant
isolate?
Foods. Yes, it's I-S-O-L-A, but isolated protein. It's so when we have a whole food, a whole plant
right.
food.
A person or thing that has become or been isolated.
Gary.
A culture. In biology, it's a culture of microorganisms isolated for study.
A whole food, a whole plant food, consists of protein, carbohydrate, and fat. Those are macronutrients. When you put it through a process and get the isolate, the protein isolate, you're taking away the fat, you're taking away the carbohydrate, and you're just sticking with the protein. So it's isolated and just protein.
I see. You learn something new every day, every Tuesday, on It's All About Food. Right?
And the thing about humans is we need to eat mostly carbohydrates, some protein and fat, all from whole food, minimally processed whole plant foods. And when we're eating something isolated, the body isn't designed to work with that. The body, in its infinite wisdom, and our bodies are just so much smarter than we are, they take the whole food and they break it down into its building blocks. So the body breaks the food down into protein and carbohydrate and fats and sends it to different places and knows what to do with it. And then actually it breaks the protein into amino acids and then recreates new proteins that we need based on whatever our RNA is telling the body it needs. But we don't want to eat it already broken down. That doesn't work.
Right. That's brilliant, Karen.
That's science. That's science. Right? It's not magic. It's science.
And well, you're using your master's degree in chemical engineering now.
I guess.
That's great.
I guess.
See, it didn't go to waste.
It didn't. You know, we have a few minutes left, and I just wanted to mention one more thing. While you're sitting around socially distancing, maybe twiddling your thumbs and wondering what to do, there is something good that you can do. The deadline for comments to the USDA for their proposed changes that would weaken school nutrition has been extended until April 22nd. It was, I think, open for comments until yesterday or today or some day in March, but it's just been extended because of the coronavirus. And here is an opportunity for you to send comments. And I'm going to direct you to Marion Nessel's blog, foodpolitics.com, her March 18th, 2020 post, where it's entitled Help Save School Nutrition Standards, Deadline Extended to April 22nd, which is Earth Day and my birthday, by the way, but that's another story. The reason why I'm directing you to Mary Nessel's page is because she has numerous links that can help you create your post. There was a group letter that was to be signed, and the deadline was March 20th, so we've missed that deadline, but you could look at the group letter and get ideas for your own comments to send to the USDA. It's really important. We don't want the school nutrition program to be weakened. And there are just so many things that the Trump administration wants to allow students to eat in school. And back in the Obama administration, we kind of tightened this up and made school nutrition better. And students shouldn't be able to just choose pizza, French fries, and cookies regularly in place of a healthier school lunch. This is not about freedom of choice. This is about feeding our children nutrition, good food. And young people don't always make the best choices. And that's why we should be feeding them good food. And we don't want to harm our kids. So it's important to make some comments. And again, I'll include the link to Mary Nessel's post in our show.
And you also spoke with Marion Nestle on this program.
Numerous times. She's always very generous with her time and has lots of wonderful information.
She is an instructor at
NYU.
NYU.
Yes, and an author of many wonderful books.
Great. So maybe we'll add some of the links to the interviews with you and Marion.
Oh, yeah. Why not? All good stuff to listen to.
Awesome. Well, this has been a wonderful, wonderful show. I have nothing more to say other than if you can't go outside, go inside.
Go inside.
Thank you, Maha.
Yeah. I wanted to mention, too, I think I mentioned it last week. Speaking of going inside, I was going to be doing two live events this week, later in the week. They've both moved online and inside.
Inside the
room.
So
they're not outside. They're now inside. If you go to responsibilityandliving.com, you can see the link to Dr. Jamela Dulaney's plant-based wellness audio conference that'll be taking place on Saturday, this Saturday, March 28th, from 9:30 to 3 p.m. And I will be speaking, as well as Dr. Pam Popper, as well as Dr. Dulaney and her daughter, Addie Dulaney, who is a nutritionist. And it's going to be fun. And it's going to be online, and you can all join us.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll be here. I'll be listening.
Thank you, Gary.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else we need to say?
I think we need to say have a delicious week.
Yeah. Be safe, everyone.
Yes, and breathe.
And don't forget, if you have any questions about how to make that pasta, pandemic pasta, info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. And
we'll be posting it at responsibleeatingandliving.com.
We're going to post the recipe as well. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You'll have the recipe up there today when you're watching this or listening to this program.
Excellent.
It'll be there.
It'll be there. Yeah. And we'll be there.
And we'll be there. All right, Karen.
Thanks, Gary.
Breathe and hit my gong. Play some rain music.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank
Have
you,
a delicious
Karen.
Week,
Happy
everybody.
Anniversary.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.